Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. That was Come Down by the British band Bush. They were formed in London, England in 1992, and their current lineup consists of lead vocalist and rhythm guitarist Gavin Rossdale, lead guitarist Chris Traynor, bassist Corey Britz, and drummer Nick Hughes. In 94, Bush found immediate success with the release of their debut album, 16 Stone, which certified 6 times multi-platinum. They went on to become the most commercially successful rock band of the 1990s, selling over 10 million records in the United States and 20 million worldwide. Despite their success in the U.S., especially in the mid-90s, the band was considerably less popular in their home country. A period of Britpop groups dominated the U.K. charts, and the appeal of grunge sound had declined, and they had enjoyed only marginal success there. Bush had numerous top 10 Billboard hits in the rock charts, and number one was Razorblade Suitcase in 96. But the band broke up in 2002, then reformed in 2010, and have released 4 albums since, The Sea of Memories, Man on the Run, Black and White Rainbows, and The Kingdom. They have some of their songs have been featured in movies. Another one of their songs, aside from this one, which was Come Down, is Your Mouth, and that's from one of the American Werewolf movies, Nothing Hurts Like Your Mouth. I, for one, very much liked the band and was in the mood to hear Come Down because, I mean, I don't want to come back down from that cloud either. So, like, there's that. I don't think anybody ever wants to come back down. But this is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. Here's my big brother, Jay Hatter, and we hang out over at allpoetry.com. We have a writing poetry radio chat group over there. If you remember, just hit the group tab, knock on the door, you can come hang out with us. If you're not a member, it's free to join, and then just look for that group tag, and you can hang out with us, too. If you'd like to call in and participate in the show, you can dial in at 1-646-668-2837, and we'd be glad to hear from you. And on that note, and after that great song, let's get this show on the road, because I got a line going. Let me grab the line for the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life and A Team of Voices, Steven and his lovely bride, Kay. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
Welcome to the show. I'm doing good. How are you?
All righty.
All righty.
Did you barbecue today?
Well, I did at work. Cooked over 150 slabs of ribs.
Yeah, but you brought some home, too.
I did bring some home, yes.
Well, there's a perk. That sounds yummy. And right behind them, we have Wayne Gent. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Hello,
how
guys.
How you doing?
Gals, how you doing? Oh,
glad
I'm tired,
you're here.
But I'm ready to get the show on. Been a long day.
Me too. And on that note, let me let Linda in. She's right behind you. Liquid Damage, welcome to the show. Glad you're here, doll.
Hi, Deb.
Hey, Linda.
So
how
happy
are
you're
you?
Here. I'm doing well.
Hi, Wayne.
Hope you are, too.
Yeah.
And I have the Queen of Canada on the line right behind you. Hi, sis. Welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. Hey. How's things going?
They're going,
queen.
Dear heart. Glad you're here. And I have one more call on the line at the moment. I'm area code 949. Hello. Hi, caller.
Hello. Hi, I'm Violet.
Hi, Violet. I'm glad you called.
Hi, Violet.
Hey, Violet.
Hello. Happy to be
glad
here.
Glad you're back.
Yeah, it's very nice to hear you again. Now, let's see here. I have a feeling that since they have a Memorial Day show going, that the dynamic duo needs to get this show on the road as per our normal setup here. So let me get back to voices. And there is today's board. And I'm scrolling down to the master list. There it is. Okay, so I'm going to grab Stephen's poem and bring it to the board. And you can kick us off, Stephen. So show me what you did with your prompt. Take us away.
All right. Yeah, I like that picture a lot. It made me think of how memories from the past can screw with you, and that's why I call it Ghosts of the Past Take Refuge in Paneled Walls. The taste of regurgitated gunmetal memories dance upon my cold tongue as hands continue to move to digital awakening, creeping from knotty pine root walls, unveiling imps of smoke, parading lithium atrocities across the cream popcorn ceiling. Gray pillowcase drenched in sweat and saliva, broken ivory fang digs into sneering upper lip, dipping toast in egg yolk eyeball, pinchers black as pitch, demolished retina. Burlap-skinned she-devil scowls as she soars across obsidian skies, littered with radioactive clouds. Disembodied cowhead peers from behind the next door, sucking oxygen through stomach acid, dealing from the bottom of the deck when the truth hides behind a one-eyed jack. End poem.
Damn. You had me stuttering back at the egg yolk eyes. It's just like such a perfectly creepy but spot-on kind of description there. I mean, really creepy. Dipping toast in egg yolk eyeball. Ew, ew, ew. I don't know why that's just, it's got me with the chills here. That is really gross. And the next time I have eggs over easy, it's going to be all your fault when I think about this line in your poem here. Man, demolish the retina. Burlap-skinned she-devil scowls as she soars across obsidian skies littered with radioactive mushroom clouds. What gloom and doom and horror and total justice to this picture. Ghosts of the past take refuge in paneled walls. You know, if these drywall walls moved or people started to try and press through, that would be like horrifying. So like you really did a brilliant job with this prompt, Stephen, and 123 tens. That's so cool. Another one that's not a whole lot of words but a whole lot of impact, and I love the truth behind the one-eyed jack. Okay, that's freaky all by itself now. So you can interfere with eggs for breakfast. You can interfere with playing blackjack or poker with that one-eyed jack now. So, like, damn, Stephen. Really awesome. Really, really awesome job with this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get you some comments here. Wow. Hatter, what did you think?
You know, this is almost an abuse of metaphors. Somebody careful. I mean that in a creative, a positive criticism. It's the disembodied cowhead for some reason just got me because I've seen that before. Sucking oxygen through stomach acid. You know, I sit there shaking my head, but there's a smile on my face. What can I say? You all done? Abuse of metaphors. Good thing.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
I said, wow, it's a wonderfully eerie poem. Well, what about the disembodied cowhead peers from behind the onyx door? I hope my walls don't come and visit me anytime soon. And there's a lot to think about in this poem. Like pinch is black as pitch, demolish that written. Yeah, that even hurts. You stab. I'm used about 1,000 times to this poem. Great job, and a pretty I don't know if it's scary or eerie or just gross. It's a wild poem, and good a job writing it. And I like it.
Thank you, Wayne.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Lady A?
Well, I agree with what's been said already, but I think it was very gruesome and bitter too. Like there was a lot of almost like venom that was in it. I thought it was very realistic and moving too, because I think hanging on to the past. I think we've all done that quite a few times in our lives, and that does. It poisons us after a while, but I thought it was really very realistic how you presented that. I liked it quite a bit.
Awesome comment. And Kay, will you comment for Stephen? And then I put his up again, but I want you to read your own. But comment, please.
Well, yeah. The words, they definitely match the view well because, as I said, the feelings and thoughts and memories, they can leave one lost in thought at times. They can bring unwelcome emotions, especially if it's from, a past from childhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, great comment. And I did put the right one on the board now. So your turn to Dazzle.
No.
Okay, well... When I saw my picture, I had to fix it up for another prompt that I wrote to as well for one of our shows. I wrote to the song The Dream Police by Cheap Trick, so I felt this goes very well. Okay, so I call Onyx Smoke, Slate's Shadow Mist. Acrimonious negotiations betwixt fingers of corrosiveness. Sundowners, a razor edge, sharp taste and tonic, turn on an axis. Heel on the swivel, on the fence, a wave and a red flag. Leave one out on the beaten path and across peace paling. Deformed disfigurement split and off, crooked. Brutalized about face and the double back. Undergo a sea change to reorganize a copper-colored lacrimose. Copy edit the red pencil custom make. Given a look at on the black side, blue pencil the launder to bone up the dry rot. Spanner in the works of a fly in the ointment as her straitjacket clamped down, bodice in her red tape stone in one's path. Defensive measures, cul-de-sac ashes to cashmere and the charcoal chrome as an earthwork shorn, concretes, putting off the evil hour, thrown into irons, institutionalizes her silence. End poem.
Wow. Talk about wicked imagery, like deformed, disfigured, splitting off, crooked, brutalized about the face, and the double back, undergo a sea change, to reorganize a copper-colored lacrimose. I mean, holy cow. What was that? To bone up the dry, not spanner in the work of a fly in the ointment, is her straight jacket clamped down. Straight jackets, because I couldn't even imagine how claustrophobic it would feel to be strapped down in the straitjacket. I mean, that's just a horrifying, horrifying thought. And at the end, the defensive measures, cul-de-sac ashes to cashmere and the charcoal chrome as an earthwork shorn concrete. Man, the images, and there's such a, the part about the deformed, disfigurement, splitting off, crooked, just felt so sad. Like even the ripping apart, the disfigurement, with the one word extra, crooked, made it just seem so much worse. Like okay, you had to break it, but you couldn't at least have broken it in a way that would be less offensive. No, because it's sort of serrated and crooked. So, like, this is a powerhouse, and you and your metaphors, really, really, really awesome. Wow. Linda, would you like to comment for Kay, please?
Sure, I'll comment for Kay. The emotions ran deep and dark on this, and it had nice abstract word strings to relay your thought in a cohesive manner. It was lots of fun to read. Awesome job, Kay.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Violet, what did you think?
I really love this one. It like reminds me like she's in a kind of like just a toxic place and a hateful place inside her mind, and she's stuck there and she can't get out. But I love it. And then at the end it says her silence, so she's silent, just like buzzing inside her own head with all this like torment. But yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Great comment. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, there's a lot of abuse in this poem. There's pain and emotion running through it. The line, leave one out on a beaten path through a cross-piece impelling. Boy, ladies, this lady had a rough time. Your poem was written in excellent fashion, and it drives the point home right up well. Great job with this. I like it a lot. Good job, Kay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Hatter?
Yeah, you know, Kay, it's like, what is in the text, how you used it, the phrase bone up, or like man up, or is it another, it's a blue, the launder, the bone up, the dry rot spanner.
Well, seeing as I wrote to the prompt,
yeah.
Oh, sorry, what were you going to say?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a unique way to say it. It was like on the swivel to bone up, clamp down to putting off. These are great word connectors that lots of words here that identifies the poem is yours. Cul-de-sac. You don't ever use cul-de-sac in a happy, warm, fuzzy poem, do you? The cul-de-sac is the people in the cul-de-sac. You know all about it. Anybody that sees the cul-de-sac, I don't mean you, yeah. But, no, I think there's it tends to suggest the darker side of the cul-de-sac. You go into the cul-de-sac, you don't go out, kind of thing. That was so poorly said. I'm sorry, Kay. I meant well.
No. It's all good because, you know, the song Dream Police, it is kind of a song about what is reality and what is an illusion. So I was playing to the prompt and playing to the song because I was trying to figure out which song to write to. And then when I saw that prompt, I was like, oh, okay, I got this now.
Awesome.
Evan.
And Stephen, will you comment for Kay and then tell us about your show today? Hey, I'm a poet. How about that?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm the whole cul-de-sac thing. For some reason, it makes me think of, you know, how every house is not the house in the cul-de-sac. They all look like they're pretty, like everybody's, you know, almost like the Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yeah.
All the pink houses, yellow houses, green houses, but you never know what's really going on inside those houses.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit of a smartass on my comment to you.
That's okay. You can get away with it.
I know. I can get away with it with you. And I just said, you know, if only there was some way to prevent the bad dreams from getting through, you know, if there was some dream police saying halt, because the dream catcher sure as hell don't work.
No, that's but, why.
Yeah, this is a really cool one. and as for the show tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, over on Aquatic Slice of Life, normally it's the Mortuary of Shadows, but this week, no, we're going to honor the veterans that have passed and the veterans who are still with us, and celebrate Memorial Day with poems honoring all of them. And the Mortuary will return its regular scheduled time next week.
Yeah.
Awesome. I will see you over there, and appreciate you both very much. And I am going to grab the next poem. Let me double-check the studio. Yep, that's what I thought. The next poem I'm grabbing is by Mr. Wayne Gent. So let me mosey over to the chat room with that and add it to the board. You should see it in just a moment, Wayne. And right. As soon as you do, take us away, please.
There it is. All right, this photograph I took, or picture that I had the prompt to, was looked like a body of water with a bunch of clouds trying to block the passageway. So I call this a break on through to the other side, and it goes like this: silver lunar light stabbed the body of ebony night sky. Manatee mirrored water has shadowed every cloud. Why? Thinking lithium waves skip across the granite sea, the guarded granite sea, shadowed cadmium froth tossing command to cease journey. Whiskey wounded warrior, caressed ivory handled sword, guarding label ornamental titanium artifacts aboard. Snake bite of poison mist, muscles across perter deck. Shelter cast my trinkets and slime puddles to protect. Forging through radiated marshmallow vipers dwelling, pearl lightness appeared with red eyed brain skipper yelling. Chrome rudder carried waterlogged nickel rigging to shore. Milky mushroom assassinating tsunami whip. Yearning no more. Ian?
No.
Awesome. And is this the one that when you put it on the board, you said you got another 10?
Oh, yeah, I got a 10. I listened to you.
It's congratulations.
Your words bring the 10s out. It's your words that does all that. You did a good job.
Well, you still have to be able to put them together to earn the 10, but I admit trying to stack the deck, and I'm absolutely thrilled that it's working out. Because sometimes you put if you use the wrong ones, you lose points. Like if you put too many concrete versus too many, why can't I even think of the word? Abstract. You still have to be able to put them down there, and you've been doing an amazing job. I like whiskey wounded warrior, caress ivory handled sword, guarding labeled ornaments, titanium artifacts aboard. Snake bite of poisonous mist, muscles across the pewter deck, sheltered cashmere trinkets in slime puddles to protect. Some pretty wicked images, and just in that middle stanza there, and the end, the visuals of the chrome rudder carried waterlogged nickel rigging to shore, milky mushrooms assassinating tsunami, wept, yearning no more. It's like, I was wondering what you were going to do with the photo, and I was not expecting this vivid, almost painful, because the assassinating tsunami wept, yearning no more. It just left me feeling kind of sad. But the visuals and your metaphors and your rhyme and the whole thing is really awesome. And again, I say congrats on that 10. I love when that happens.
Thank you.
You did a really awesome job with this.
I appreciate it.
And let me get a comment. Let me let Frank in, and then I'll get your comments. Hi, Frank.
Hello there.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, my friends. It's good to be on. Hello there, Wayne. It's good to be on, my friends.
Glad you're here.
Same here.
Just about to get some comments for Wayne. So sit tight for a moment, please. And I need to get the dynamic duo so they can prep for their show. So, okay, ladies first.
Well, yeah, I like the title because automatically when you said that, it made me think of Jim Morrison, Break On Through to the Other Side. With that, I like the line, whiskey wounded warrior caresses ivory-handled sword, garden-labeled ornamental titanium artifacts aboard. Those lines, as I said, build their own story, as each line does, to bring a buildup of energy that comes to a freaking halt with the end. You definitely used all the words. It looks like you used a lot of them to bring artistry to the prompt. It's an excellent share.
Great comment.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And Stephen, how about you?
No, Kay kind of stole my thunder a little bit because I was going to start singing Break Out Through to the Other Side, but I guess I won't because I like the title too, but I also like the pepper egg of alliteration in this as Deb took the line. That would actually bring another Doors song to mind, right? The Wounded Whiskey Wounded Warrior. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar.
Ah, there you go.
Don't ask why, but yeah. I like the imagery in Wayne. I like the darkness and the rhymes that you always bring. This is awesome.
Well, thank you very much, there, Steve.
You're welcome.
Great comment, you guys. And appreciate you both, and I'll see you at the Memorial Day special.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, how about if I get a comment from Lady A, please?
Well, Wayne, this is quite brilliant, and I think you outdid yourself with this one. I really, I like the, as everybody has said, I like the darkness of it. And I think that you have a hidden talent that you've awakened in the last little while, and I'm really glad to see it. I think you did a really good job with it. I thought I know you used a word bank. Love the picture that you chose to, but just the silver lunar light stabbed the body of ebony night sky. Just opening it up with that line alone, I thought everything was really good. And as Stephen said, the alliteration in this is quite good, and I like alliteration quite a bit. This was a very well-done piece, and I love it.
Well, thank you, Lady.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment, and how about if I get one from Linda, too?
Yes, Wayne. You did a really great job on this. I like the alliterations in it as well. But it was a fine, chilling tale with dark, mysterious subject, wonderful metaphors, Wayne, and intense imagery. And I love the ship reference at the end about the skipper yelling and the chrome rudder carried waterlogged nickel rigging to shore. It gave it some charm and some meat. But, yeah, you did a really great job, Wayne. Thank you for sharing this.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Violet?
I really love this one. You described, even that picture you described, but there's like a darkness to it. It's awesome. I really like it.
Thank you, Violet.
Awesome comments, everyone, and a great poem, Wayne. Appreciate it. Let me grab another poem here. Let's see. I'm going to grab Linda's poem and bring it over.
Oh.
And where is, there is Voices. And
there it is.
There is your poem. Take us away, please.
First, I want to just say that this is a debilitating disease, and more people have it than they know. But I've been afflicted with it pretty much my whole life. This poem is called Echoes in Gray, Narcolepsy. As I light from my linen sheets, I stare into charcoal shadows that are there. To wake is a joy I don't receive. I'm feeling the gray echo over me. In this world of sleep, I feel alone, standing here with madness in my bones. I can't shake this pity that I feel, because to stay awake is never there for real. My eyes yet open, I'm living in a mist. Between awake and sleep, I coexist. I'm outlined by chalk so easily blown away. Will I wake to plan things for today? Sometimes I fade when you talk to me. I'm just awake to a degree. I know this must be hard on you, but you really don't have a clue. A vibration of myself, invisible, feeling like I'm trudging in marshmallow. Through the gunmetal sludge I walk, trying hard not to smear the chalk. There is no reason, there is no rhyme that keeps me awake when it's time. The onyx wind blows over thee, feeling gray echoes over me. N, never knowing when sleep comes. A, always being careful not to fall. R, rarely getting enough sleep. C, colorful ways to cover up sleep wounds. O, occasionally I get hurt. L, loving myself anyway. E, everyone laughs when I sleep talk. P, personal triggers that can set it off. S, someone to watch over me. Y, years of explaining to people while I'm asleep at parties, concert, the market, etc. End poem.
Mm. Wow. Kind of speechless for a moment there. And I'm taking that by the tone in your voice as you read that this is something you deal with. This is a true story.
On a daily basis.
How brave to write it out in a poem and share it. Wow. My eyes yet open. I'm living in a mist. Between awake and sleep, I coexist. I'm outlined by chalk so easily blown away. Will I awake to plan things for today? I kind of want to cry. I also kind of want to give you a hug. I'm still so... In my brain, I keep hearing, man, she's brave, man, she's brave, to put this out there. It must be... a scary thing to deal with. And that ending, years of explaining to people why I'm asleep at parties, concerts, the market, etc. So I would imagine that you might even have a sleep conversation. Do you remember it?
Not really. I remember when I'm starting to wake up, but like I was in the market one day with my little one and I fell asleep and everybody has to be there and start drama. And that's the worst part is people starting drama, like call the ambulance, you know, she's passed out or she's dead or, you know, whatever they come up with. And, you know, I had to explain while my daughter is sitting there in the cart why I was asleep. And, you know, nobody buys it, so there's no point. And it just becomes really hard to explain why I'm asleep in places like that.
Mm. She wore a bracelet.
You got to remember, sometimes perfect people just can't help themselves. And that was absolutely sarcasm. I guess it would be scary from their point of view, but your initial reaction would be to, you know, slow your roll. Give me a minute. You have no idea what's going on. But again, I say to take this word bank and put it into this incredible bearing of your soul and calling attention to narcolepsy, and it's an incredibly powerful, it's amazing. So are you. Let me get you some
thank
comments.
You, Deb.
Hatter.
No, I can understand why people would, it'd be hard for people to understand something you deal with like that every day. Couldn't you wear like a wrist or a bracelet or something that I would tell people, usually that's what they look
right,
like.
I used to, but it got lost and I never had a new one made.
Because that could be confusing big time, and I understand. It must be frustrating to you and a little scary sometimes for anybody else not knowing.
Right.
Sorry to hear
awesome.
You have to hear that.
Thank you, Hatter.
Frank, can you comment for Linda?
Yes, just one moment. My page just went. All right. First of all, I thought what was, the whole notion of what you're going through is, I've never had this. I do deal with anxiety and insomnia, but it's nothing, of course, of what degree that you suffer from this. I thought, first of all, it's courageous if you perhaps you don't want to hear that, but I think it's courageous that you pin this poem here and you offer us a little bit of your what you go through in your daily life. What I enjoyed of the poem here was I thought it was very inspiring. It's a very powerful piece that invoke such stirring imagery and emotions. It was a haunting realization, like I said, of a personal truth that you yourself accept and must cope with. But I thought the piece was just exquisite. I loved, as always, you just have this brilliance, I would say, with your narrative, your storytelling. You know, and I'm always amazed by how you usually use your rhyming scheme. You know, I know this is not a lengthy piece, but even though it's not lengthy, you still keep that scheme with such perfection there. It's very impeccable, I would say. So I really did enjoy this piece here, and I love the storyline as well that you divulged to us there. It makes it even more palpable here. So it was a great, a very good piece here, and I'm really touched here by this piece here.
Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And then you... Lady A.
Who?
Well, sorry, I didn't hear it. Just cut out. You know, Linda and I have talked about this before, and I told her some things about myself, and she thinks that I also have it, and so I related entirely to what she was saying. You've never thought of it that I might have it. Sort of came to my mind once in a while, but you know, the falling asleep and having a conversation, I do that all the time, and it wakes me up actually. And I thought it was related to my diabetes, but I haven't had it investigated yet. But I related to everything that she said in this, and I haven't had it for a long time, like you've had it all your life. Mine has just been probably about 3 years now that I've had this problem, and it's a bit frightening, it alarms people around you, you know, and I haven't had any public experiences, but I've had my friends, you know, around will say, you know, because you, all of a sudden you start, you know, you're talking and you know you're sleeping, like you know you're going to sleep, and then you say something. I'll often come out, I'm in one track, and then all of a sudden I'll say something crazy like, you know, look at those polka dots up there on the ceiling or something like that.
Right.
So it's
right.
You're doing acid or something, but it's a very unnerving. And I haven't been diagnosed with it, and I'm afraid to get diagnosed with it because I think I might lose my driver's license if I do.
Yes,
and,
you will.
Yeah, so that's the big reason why I don't get investigated, which is not a really great reason, but there it is. But Linda, you did a great job in conveying what it's like to have this. And
thank you.
The experience that you've had, and you're promoting an awareness too for others to
right.
know that they're not insane. And
right,
yeah. So you did a great job doing that, and I do think you're brave to come forward and talk about that. But ultimately, someone else is going to hear this and be helped by it.
Thank you, darling. You know, and what most people don't know is there are triggers that set it off. Like if I count dimes, I fall asleep. I can count the dollar bills and the quarters and the nickels and even the pennies, but when I get to the dimes, I fall asleep. When I used to run the cash register at the AA clubhouse I ran, I had to have somebody, of course, come to work with me and stay with me all day to make sure that if I fell asleep at the counter that, you know, I could be taken care of and such. But my other trigger is auditoriums. If I go into an auditorium where there's people talking, it's the echo that makes me fall asleep. And, of course, driving in a car is one of my biggest triggers.
Oh,
I go right out in a car.
Yeah.
So how long are you out usually?
You know, sometimes it's just for maybe a few seconds, but sometimes it's all day. You know, it's on and off all day long for hours at a stretch. Yeah, that's when I'm having bad days. Because, see, I take medication for it, but I don't like to take it every day because it's an amphetamine. And so I keep it down to where I take it when I go to church so I can stay awake, and because I'm in an auditorium and the echo works me. And then I take it if I have to go out to an appointment or something, because I can't be falling asleep in the middle of a bank, you know, being at the bank talking about loans or something, or going to the doctor and falling asleep while she's talking to me. So that's when I save my medication for.
So somebody takes an echo, that doesn't trigger it, does it? I go, sky.
What was that?
That's the last question. I go, Sky, thank you for coming, Jane. Thank you for the post.
No.
Okay, good.
You'll be all right, Hatter.
Okay, thank you.
But that was awesome. And in the meantime, AP phoned in on his break, and he's going to read for us, but he would like to comment on your poem first, Linda. Hi, AP.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, AP.
Having had a few medical run-ins myself, I know that it's a very personal thing, your own medical condition, and it's something that you hold very tightly, and it's something that you've obviously gone and understood in great detail, and it comes through in the poem, that level of understanding and that depth of understanding that you have about yourself, and it's a really personal thing, and it takes a lot of courage to actually go and share that and to bear that open. So very, very well done.
Hey, AP,
thank
can I
you,
make
AP.
A quick comment real quick? Yeah, I'd like to make one quick comment real quick about that. I was in New Orleans once, and I met a guy that I kept falling asleep. He was my limousine driver. And every time we come to a red light, he'd fall asleep and start snoring. Scared the hell out of us. And it's the weirdest thing in the world.
Yeah.
His driver would stop and fall asleep and go to sleep. He'd wake up in the green light and take off, but he'd be late sometimes. But that was the weirdest thing I ever went through.
The worst part about it is the fact that I can't plan things per se. I mean, I can plan things, but I have to be very careful, you know, where I go and who's with me. And my husband's very good about knowing when I'm going to go to sleep, and he takes care of me very well. But it's just on a daily basis. If I can't wake up, and there's a lot of days that I just can't wake up, my life, you know, it's very debilitating for my life not to be able to have full days of living.
Yes. Yeah. Well, long-term illnesses are just horrible, Linda. The having had one that's gone for decades myself, I understand that. They sort of just eat away at you over a period of time. It takes a lot of internal fortitude to keep going and to keep fronting up when you're never quite sure what you're going to face.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Awesome comments, everyone. And a great share, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you.
And AP, yours is up on the board.
Excellent. Well, I don't write dark that often, Deb, but the author's note here is that notice no devils wear glasses, and this is the devil's optometrist. It goes a little bit like this. For the optometrist has left a trail of eyepieces, see nickel and glass, have all been gathered by the rail, in mists both pearl and silver pass. Here found not just any technician, ivory teeth missing and face foam. Striking candles will create ignition, and in linen and ivory fears shone. This creature sculpts devil's faces, inserts lenses without chat or talk, gouges minus the sugar or graces, placing grooves in a skull as chalk. Face heavy as granite from a cave, his tool sharp as any you will find. A legend is living among the grave, and wouldn't you know, he is blind. End poem.
Wow.
Man, how creepy. Oh, man. I don't even know which piece to pick. But, here found not just any technician, ivory teeth missing and face bone. Striking candles will create ignition, and in linen and ivory, fear shown. Hell yeah, my fears would be shown. There's no way I would ever get glasses or any other thing done if I had to go to something that looked like that. Wow. Creepy. Gouges minus the sugar and graces, placing grooves in a skull as chalk. You know, for some reason, that took me out of the optometrist chair and into the dentist chair, just saying. Because, like, you know, yeah, I just got the sound of the drill. So, like, he's just creepy all around, and your warning emphasized it. His tools sharp as any you will find. A legend is living among the grave, and wouldn't you know it, he is blind. Well, shoot, like I said, I would be too if I had to go to that dude. This is pretty wicked. Cool choice.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, I'm wondering where you took it. Well, let me get you some comments for this one. Hat Man, how about this scary dude? See, you thought you had it bad. You have to go see the doctor for your back. At least you don't have to go see him.
Yeah, first of all, yeah, I can see, now Satan doesn't wear prescription glasses, but I can sure see him in some sun clouds or some Farnese. I was wearing glasses. But yeah. This creature, I almost tried to write to that picture, and I sat and stared at it for a while and didn't have a clue. So good on you for doing something I just could not figure out. For the optimist, left a trail of life.
Awesome comment. Yeah. And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I said this is another perfect poem, perfect balanced poem by the master. He writes such perfect squared up lines. It just amazes me. And a blind optometrist, what a concept that is! It'd be better to have a dentist without teeth, or it reminds me of a butt kicker without feet. And so your poem is smooth, and there's a lot to think about in this poem. A great job, and the pick's wonderful. And you did a great job reading it. Wonderful job, AP.
Thanks very much, Wayne. Cheers.
Now that's steampunk too, right? Steampunk.
Yeah. The creepy side of steampunk, anyway. Frank, what did you think?
No, this poem has a particular sense. It could be an urban legend if you actually, you know, took this, you know, the whole concept here. It could be a short story here, and I thought what was interesting and what I found fascinating was just the notion there of a ghastly ghoul, I would say, hidden within what would be the graveyard as an optometrist there. You know, it only seemed, and I like the fact that you added there, notice no devils with glasses. That's very clever. I thought this piece here was dark. It had, but I thought it was very clever, very creative as well. And I just love the whole notion there. I mean, I would love for this to be extended into a short story and see the aftermath here, or see more of these certain little details there of what he was before, if he was a character or how this character developed, but overall it was a very well-written piece.
Thanks, Frank. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And Linda, I know you want to comment.
Yes, I do. You know, this you did this so well. You took words and created a creature that matched that prompt precisely, but it was very chilling with intense imagery. This was wicked cool, and I know I won't be going to the optometrist anytime soon. You have created an amazing creature and words to go with the picture prompt. You did a stellar job on this AP. Thank you for sharing it.
No, thank you, Linda. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Great comment. And last one from ADA, please.
Well, you know, AP, you really surprised me with this. I don't think I've ever read anything as dark as this from you, but this was really amazingly written, I thought. And I love, you know, throughout the whole, the descriptions, the imageries that you created here with those words from the bank. I would never know they were from a word bank, first of all. And it was very creepy, but I thought it was really kind of fun to read it, and fun knowing it came from you, I guess. But the last verse, that you tied it up really well, and wouldn't you know, he's blind. You know, like, it's just, I thought it was great. I loved it.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you.
Awesome.
You're welcome.
Comment. Awesome. Thank you, everyone. And some pretty creepy stuff, AP. You did a great job. I appreciate you going on your break.
Yeah,
and I hope it's always good.
Thank you very much, and thanks all for the comments. And again, well done to Linda, and we'll talk soon.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks,
bye.
Have a good one.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so let me see here. Back to the studio and see where we're falling. We are falling. The next caller that came into the studio was Violet. Let me go and grab her.
Me.
What's me?
Well, I don't know if you saw that. I did put one in.
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I'm just trying to call by order of how they come in on the studio.
Okay.
And Violet called in before you did. But I moved yours to the master list. Didn't give Adam much. Oh.
Deb, okay. Were you able to get my SoundCloud?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's all right. Thank you.
The lineup is Violet, then Lady A, and then Frank. So let me grab Violet's, and I will have it on the board in just a moment. Back to the topic, and over here, and... looking for the board now. Dun, dun, dun. Okay.
Do you want me to post it? I can post it.
No, it's all right. You know what it is? The board's just hopping all over the place, and every time I try to go and find a team of voices, it moves. But I caught it. So there is your poem.
Okay.
So go ahead and read, please.
Okay. So it was for image... number 15 was like the old doctor. Okay, here it goes. Doctor, doctor, fix me of this constant torment, buzzing words hateful towards myself. A voice I hear whispering close to my ear, you are obsolete, you are worthless. Alligator tears fall from my tear deck. Doctor, doctor, take these whispering demons away. Hesitantly, he walks towards me. Nothing I can do for you, my child. No outside wounds, nothing to fix. Yet again alone I sit. Am I alone? Nay, my demons and I go off into this forever bliss. Forever tormented, forever tantalized, I let them devour me. End poem.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. Wow. You are obsolete. You are worthless. Alligator tears fall from my tear ducts. You know, that's the kind of doctor that should never be, because like as far as I'm concerned, the first step at fixing your patient side manner, and any person, any human being that would say you're worthless and obsolete is a piece of dog doo-doo in my book. But the poem is gripping and emotional, and the ending, forever tormented, forever tantalized, I let them devour me. Violet, don't let them. Fight, kick, scream, tell the doctor where to go, poke them in the eyes and run, but don't let them devour you. Wow. Really powerful stuff.
Thank you.
Hatter.
Are you going to have to pass me this time?
No problem. Wayne, what did you think?
Let's see here. I got my feet. Okay, the voices at night can be tormenting real bad, because I've had about 2-3 weeks ago, I changed the batteries in one of my clocks in my bedroom wall, and the way they tick-tock together, they almost are on the top of each other, but they just off a little bit where it sounds like somebody's talking. So for about 2 weeks, I thought I was hearing somebody talking to me at night in the bed. I thought I was hearing voices. And it was this clock going tick, and it's like it's talking the whole time. So I finally figured that out, and I feel a lot better now. But I thought I was being invaded myself. So I don't understand the torment that you go through with the voices and all that. And so it's kind of an eerie poem. It's a good job. You did a good job on this. And it's sad, but it's kind of eerie, and I like it a lot. Good job with this. Good description.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Linda, please.
Yes, Violet. Once again, you've brought quite a nice piece to the table. This was quite awesome. You put perfect imagery in this, and you let out your emotions to the fullest extent. Made us feel for your tormented soul. Things will be fine. And yes, you can allow the doctors to make you feel that way. Imagine when I go to the doctor and tell him I need an amphetamine prescription, and they look at me like I'm crazy, like I'm a drug addict. And mm-hmm. So I understand where you're coming from, but you gotta, you know, you gotta get strict with them and or find a new doctor. But you certainly let out your emotions in this, and you know, it makes me want to weep for you, because I just so relate to all that you're going through right now. So, you know, stand tall, and you're not alone. You have people here that care about you already. And, just keep writing and getting out your emotions on paper and then telling it, because that's how you get rid of your demons, is by speaking to other people about them. So anyway, good job, Violet.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, will you comment for Violet before you read, please?
Yes, I'd be happy to. You know, I was quite moved by this piece, and I always feel that when I read a poem that evokes that kind of emotion, you know, that it's well written. So kudos for that. However, I have to concur with the others that it's a tremendously sad piece, and I hope that it's from your imagination and not real life. I'm just kind of reading what I wrote to you. But should it be real life, I would encourage you to reach out and talk to somebody that you feel comfortable talking to. And I'm sure, I'd be happy to talk with you, and others would be as well. Because no matter what our circumstance, and you know what, I'm speaking to myself as I speak to you, because life has been very, very difficult for me these past few months. And so I'm telling myself the same thing, is that you're worth more than what you're feeling at this time, and never give in and never give up, no matter how hard it is, and never let anybody tell you you're not worthwhile.
That's right.
So I hope you can take that into your heart.
Hear,
and know, even if you're alone and you feel alone, you're never really alone. And so, you know, reach out and you'll find a friend.
Yeah, thank you. I wrote it probably like, I think 6 months ago. I was like in this is like a heavy depression, dark place. But yeah, it just comes to my mind, like, emotions, and like we all feel that way.
Hello?
Can you guys hear that noise?
I'm sorry, I had to find the noise. Wayne, if you can hear me, that noise is on your line. If you could dial back, that would be fantastic. But that's you, dear heart.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, it was just imagination and kind of just like when I write, it's just to like release. And like then I feel better after.
Yes.
Just like getting that out for me.
That's good to know. Yeah, I hear you there too. But you know, like
you
if
calling and reading, keep calling. And
yeah,
calling.
And if it gets too dark, just you know, like I said, reach out and you'll find a friend.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Oh, right, and you made an interesting choice. I can't wait to see what you did with her.
Oh, for me, yes, yeah. I loved the picture as soon as I saw
she's
it.
She's beautiful. Yeah, she's gorgeous. I
yes.
can't wait to see what you did. Take us away.
Okay, so I wrote to this prompt, this beautiful woman, and I've called it Our Roots. Ra shines upon rainforests at the edge of the Sahara. Golden rays peek through the canopy of green. She is beauty with ebony skin. Some say she is Eve. Onyx eyes gaze upon her queendom. She is black pearl. From her womb the world was born. Brown sugar, ivory bones. All history points to this place where through the mist she's seen. Mankind dispersed over time, one thing remains the same. Bisque, cream, vanilla, cocoa, chocolate brown are her DNA. Negro goddess, Earth's mother, titanium strength like no other, shaped her young to work the land, food, herbs, and medicines. Healer, trader of goods, negotiates our place on earth. Humans, white to black, no hate in between. We are human beings. Ra shines upon the rainforest at the edge of the Sahara. She is Eve, black pearl, earth's mother, our roots, her DNA. End poem.
Pretty.
Wow. Wow. I love it from the first line. Ra shines upon rainforests at the edge of the Sahara. Golden rays peek through the canopy of green. The visuals there are stunning. And the goddess, the earth mother, the titanium strength like no other, shaped her young to work the land, giving her power, strength, to help build the respect that you're showing for her, the no hate in between. We are human beings. Ra shines upon the rainforest at the edge of the Sahara. She is Eve, the black pearl, Earth Mother, our roots. I like that you bring it back to the edge of that Sahara there. And the DNA,
mm-hmm.
and the history, and I think that if this is what seeing her gorgeous face inspired in you, that wow. Another one where you don't even notice the fact that I can't help but recognize, quote, my words. I would have forgot that it was a word bank. I think that you brought her photo to life with honor and dignity and rich history, and that you did a brilliant job. Wow.
Thank you so much. I love the picture. As soon as I saw it, I knew what I was going to write.
Well,
so I thank you for that.
Stunningly beautiful, this woman. Anyway, let me get you some comments. Hatter, are you back?
Just about. Give me one more minute.
Okay, no problem. Just wanted to check. How about you, friend? Oh, no, but I'm going to save you for last because you're the next reader. I'm sorry. Wayne, can you comment for Lady A?
Yes. This is a great poem of the mother of all mothers. Is described well in this poem. She's a strong woman that set mankind off in the right direction. It's a great job in showing the force of a female in her roots. I can see a little bit of me in her face. We're beautiful. Great job with this. Loved it.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it.
Linda, please.
Yes, wow. That was incredibly poignant. But you wrote this with such a powerful pen. Your description of her is worth $1 million. You brought her to life with such cohesive writing. This was so beautiful. You made her, well, she's already beautiful, but your description of her was so right on. We didn't even need the picture but it helped, but we didn't need it. Your description of her was so cool. You did a really stellar job on this, Lady A. I'm blown away. Thank you for sharing it.
Wow, thank you, Linda. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're awesome. Welcome. Very nice.
And awesome comment. And Violet?
When I just hearing you read it, it's like what comes to my head is like that's Mother Earth, and like how you said from her womb to the world was born. Like, it's
yeah.
So descriptive, it's so pretty, and, like she created everything, and it's beautiful. I really love it.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And Frank, if you would comment for Lady A while I grab your poem, that would be great.
Well, by all means, I thought this poem was a wonderful illustration and personification of Ra and her beautiful attributes. I agree, it's a very exquisite poem there, Lady A. This, it really brought here such wonderful characteristics, and using as well the canvas of the Sahara, you know, for natural habitat there. You know, I agree, beauty, it transcends color. It is found amongst all of us of all shades, and I thought this piece here was just a bit of an example there of what a goddess should be. In the sense of not just merely to reflect of her as someone to worship and revere for her physicality, but all more importantly to revere her attributes, her qualities, you know, what makes a character as well, and how and what she does for others, and not just herself, or what she represents as well.
Thank you, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Frank's is on the board, and he has a SoundCloud, so if you guys click on it and tell me that you see it, we'll go from there.
Got it.
Okay. And here we go.
Upon the misty night of London, in the memorable year of 1868, I did the unspeakable, cut off my right hand with a blade, the same hand I would use then to play the chords of the gold piano, for I was once a renowned pianist, and fame would be my downfall. But I was consumed with the fury of my blind madness, constantly drugged on the substance of the seduction of the obsession of opium. In the end, my hallucinations drove me to the despair of continued desperation, which only was the awful beginning to my sudden episodes of my fret and scare. These hallucinations had caused me to bury my wretched hand in a grave, but this hand would not rest so easily, nor be relentless, and had returned again. It had risen incredibly from the root of the oak trees and sprawling boughs to haunt me of a daunting revenge that no man could ever escape its ire. It had emerged from the ebony shuttle, creeping on to the piano where I had sat as the hand had discomposed me truly and brought a rapid chill down my spine. It was then that I had seen with my eyes the ivory teeth of death it bore hideously, dropping the bottle of the champagne foam, the very bubbles I had enjoyed tremendously. The cursed hand had crawled towards me as it attempted to strangle me forcibly with such a strong grasp upon my neck when my heartbeat had increased more. But I was able to toss the murderous hand into the charcoal embers on my fireplace. Like a silver blaze, the evil hand had burnt and dissipated into the mystery of London. Thus had abated the baleful bane.
Yay! That was awesome. That was so awesome.
Oh my goodness. I was like already blown away, and then I could hear Linda, and she couldn't even contain herself. She couldn't wait to say, wow. And that was like the epic laughter at the end. But from the title to details, from the misty night in London, where's that? But I was consumed with the fury of my blind madness, constantly drugged on the substance of the seduction of the obsession of opium. Man, oh man, oh man, the gripping details in this. In the end, my hallucinations drove me to the despair of continual desperation. This is like, man, oh man, deep and packed with details and images. The cursed hand crawled towards me. Talk about goosebump, cringy thoughts. I mean, wow, wow, wow. But I was able to toss the hand into the charcoal embers. But, like, I'm picturing this hand trying to come towards you, and just the thought that, you know, it didn't need any other muscle but just those fingers, and it was going to take you away, and then you tossed it into the fire. And then to top it off with the laughter, this is like a Jekyll and Hyde meets the Jack the Ripper, all rolled up into one with gory, creepy details, but brilliant usage of the colors and the scenery and wow, 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 wow.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Seth. I knew you would enjoy it there.
Yeah, I think that you did an excellent job with this. And I also think that if I
Thank
don't go
much.
To Linda first, she might jump through the phone, so let me go there.
That's right. Frank, you're just wonderful. Now, that was very creepy, my friend. What a great storytelling. It had deep, dark imagery that spooked me all the way to my bones. Fantastic series of events made this a chilling tale. It's not all the written part that makes that so cool. It's your ability to put on a show with your voice and work it with the reflections. I mean, you entertain us, and you make the story come alive with your voice. So excellent job, my friend. Do it again. Do it again.
So I've been doing a lot of these. I've been doing these recently now, but I have to say, I'll definitely bring more of these pieces. And entertainment is what I love to do the most.
Right on.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. Violet, what did you think of that?
This is probably one of my favorites that I've heard so far. I feel like I'm sitting at a play in like New York or Broadway or something. Like I was picturing him sitting there at his piano, and then he cuts off his hand, and then like a ghost hand is crawling up on him ready to like strangle him, like you turned on yourself or something. Like I really enjoyed it, and it's very theatrical and beautiful. It's awesome.
I appreciate that, my dear. Thank you very much.
Great comment. And Sis, how about you?
Well, I thought this was very extraordinary. I loved the story. I loved how you told it. Your voice is amazing. I think that this was. But I was consumed with the fury of my blind madness, constantly drugged on the substance of the seduction of the obsession of opium. I thought that was very interesting. They used to have opium dens in some of these cities, but I think you talked about that addiction. At least that's what I see in this. That the whether it's an addiction to an actual drug or an addiction to whatever, you become obsessed with it. Like when you say, it was then that I had seen with my eyes the ivory teeth of death. It bore hideously, dropping the bottle of the champagne foam of eerie bubbles that I had enjoyed tremendously. The whole piece was a play, and I just thought it was fabulous. And yeah, really great. Fantastic piece.
Right, it was
like watching a play. It really was. I thought it was wonderful.
I do appreciate that, lady. When I got this, if I can ask Deb if you could put the piece up there, the prompt there. It was a very, very haunting prompt there. So when I wrote this piece there, I came up that image there of that prompt. I said to myself, you know, I'm going to create my own storyline to it, and this is what came up from that prompt there.
Mm. Remind me what it looked like, Frank.
Yeah, it's the hand. It's the hand. I think
our
teeth.
With the mouth. Okay, just give me one second.
Yeah, exactly.
While I'm adding that to the board, say hello to Sky. She's going to be our next reader. And I'm grabbing the hand.
Hi, Sky.
Right now.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Sky.
Great job, Frank.
Hello there, Sky. Hello, Wayne. Were you able to hear
there
that,
you
Wayne? Go. Yeah, you sound like Vincent Price. He's kind of like a little bit of Werewolf London and Jekyll and Hyde and Madman all rolled into one. Great, great job. It's entertaining, very entertaining.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend. It's always my pleasure to be with all of you.
And Sky, do you hear us, hon?
Yes, I do. Hi.
Okay, good. And if you look on the chat wall, I just put the photo up that was Frank's prompt.
Yeah, I saw that. Thank you. That was
so
great.
You can see it. And
all the prompts are good there, Deb. You did an excellent job, as always.
Sky, you weren't on in time to hear Frank, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I wasn't. Sorry, no, I was driving home.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure.
I wasn't able to listen tonight.
That's okay.
Not a problem.
Okay,
and I think I let everybody in the room comment on it. So... Let's hear from Ms. Sky, please.
Awesome, thank you. So I'm 2 words short because I realized I put an extra stanza in this Chirza Rima, and then I had to delete it because I was going back and forth between my perfectionism of the form and then the piece. I added the new words out.
I promise not to penalize. Love
right.
you anyway.
I sip your sunrise and taste you burnt at dusk. Chirza Rima by Sky Darkle. You are a morningside New England chorus, made of willowed maple pines and paper birch, the echo of steam train whistles and forest. Upon mountain ranges where lilac finch perch, you bloom in Hampshire roses and snowy pearls, laced in all granite season upon which I search. A scent that lingers in cinnamon stick swirls, as does mist to salt on burnt sienna rust. Thereupon raspberry wilts of redwood curl. Alas, memory and grief does what it must, and I sip sunrise and taste you burnt at dusk.
Well, on a side note, before I comment on the poem itself, I have to say that burnt and raw sienna were two of my favorite Crayola crayons when I was coloring horses. I don't know why that popped into my head, but it did anyway. But yeah, upon mountain ranges where lilac finch perch, you bloom in Hampshire roses and snowy pearls laced in all granite seasons upon which I search. There's so much beauty in just that part of this. And then to go on for the scent that lingers in cinnamon stick swirls. It was like a little tickle of the senses as you went along with your morning tea, or your morning tea cup, anyway. But I'm really loving that bloom in Hampshire roses and snowy pearls. There's just something so romantic about that line. But like I said, the fact that it also brings in the cinnamon scent, I thought that you did an excellent job with the word bank, with the photo. And I really love the title, I Sip Your Sunrise, Taste You Burnt at Dusk. Like I said, I get a romantic feel from this one. So, bravo, excellent piece. Chirza Rima.
Thank you.
Chirza Rima? Rima.
And just so you
very
know,
cool.
the purple finch and the purple lilac are the New Hampshire state bird and the New Hampshire state flower. And it's the granite state, so it's all wrapped in
there.
Oh,
cool. So it's sort of it's a tribute to your surroundings, but there's I'm sticking to it that the romantic feel of it, but love for your surrounding, it might not be romantic, but it's the way it comes across. Like you could say to a person as well, and it be just as powerful in meaning, but as does
it is, you're right. It's a mad love poem. It's just using that as a metaphor, that's all. But you're right. So
yeah, no, I really love it. And the form is cool. I'll have to try one.
Yeah. It's my first time.
Well,
I did it wrong, but I fixed it. Thank you.
Well, I would imagine that even if you tried or brought it the other way, you would have went back and changed it anyway. I would rather you brought it as it makes you feel right, like you know, like you're satisfied with it, or else I would have been bummed that you conformed just because of a word bank. So,
thank you.
Excellent share.
Yeah.
Let me get you some comments. How about I get a comment from Wayne, please?
Oh yeah, this is a Terry's a Rima. I don't know if I've ever wrote one before, but I must write one pretty soon because. It's a poem I haven't tried. This is a lovely poem, and I can taste this poem. It's delicious. It's it's a wonderful ride, and definitely yearning for something, a nice smooth drink, like a tea or a nice drink. I love the cinnamon flavor you put in the poem too. Great job with this. I like it a lot, and you did a great reading. And I'll see you at the next
show.
And how about a comment from Violet, please?
I think she said she had to drop. She had a meeting, I think, on the board she wrote. Hello?
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 I can hear you guys.
All right. I thought I dropped.
No, I can hear you. Deb, are you on mute?
You must have dropped.
Well,
perhaps.
What's that?
Sorry, this
I'm here.
Was that Rack?
This is wrong.
Do you want
I'm
me
sorry.
To comment?
I had the cash.
Sorry about that. My phone died. I had to grab the other. I had to grab another line.
Is that Rome?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is Rome. Sorry about that.
Rome, how are you?
I'm good.
Hi, Rome.
How's everyone? Hey guys, how's everybody?
Good to hear you.
Good to hear you guys.
Let me see here. Let me get a comment for Sky from Frank, please.
Yes, I'm going to comment, and I have to go. Sky, I thought this was one of your most beautiful rides that I've actually read from you. And obviously, this is a form that I'm not really familiar make that. But this poem was just very, very exquisite and very rich in the metaphors, and the imagery was colorful. And I agree that it had this great sense of sentience in nature here. And you were able to incorporate this into this piece. I love the prompt. The way this prompt itself was a soothe. It had a soothing feeling to it, and that's how I felt this poem here. It was a very poetic piece, very eloquent. And as I said, I think this is one of your best pieces here that I've actually read. It's just a beautiful poem.
Thank you, Frank.
All right, my friends, I've got to run now. Take care.
Bye.
Frank, did you have a show
bye,
you
Frank.
Want to push before you leave?
A plug? You say, did you ask me a plug? Yes, we have a, what's today, Monday. We will have a show, which is tomorrow at night, 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. It's only an hour. It's only an hour, so we will be doing... carryovers, I believe, and anyone who comes, it's an open poetry theme. So if you want to stop by and just share a conversation or poetry in particular, and a bit of coffee at the cafe, everyone is welcome. Everyone, enjoy your night. And Deb,
cool.
Thank you once
awesome.
More. It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure.
And thank you for calling.
Buenas noches.
I appreciate
Take care.
It. Thank you so much.
Buenas noches. Bye-bye.
Buenas noches.
Linda. Linda, will you
yeah.
comment for Sky, please?
Yes, I will. I thought I love the beginning of it. It was just a beautiful metaphor. It had a lot of heart in it, but a very emotional journey with some awesome imagery. You accomplished a great deal here, and this is what poetry is all about. I love your form and flow. It's all very sweet, and although we all have those memories, I know how it feels, and I feel for you in this poem. So good job, Sky.
No, thank you. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
And did I let Rome, did you happen to hear Sky's poem?
Oh, yes. Thankfully, I did. I always love Sky's, right? It's always, it captures everything so well. The right so well. I like to play on the senses because, you know, actions speak louder than words. So therefore, you see things before you hear them, but through your eyes you hear them. And you have the taste of them when you smell them before you even get to taste them. So I love that little play on that there because everything was the sense of the smell. And you smelled every emotion it captured. It's always so descriptive. And I love that play with the emotions, kind of just play with the scent of everything. Like,
a scent can bring you to memory. You can smell something and be reminded of something. And I love that aspect. I was captured by it. And I also found like it was joyful. It was very funny, you know, because I make fun of sometimes of people. Like, they get some food and they smell it before they bite into it. I'm like, what the hell are you smelling? Just eat it. We got to smell it first. So I just love that. So the script and that and the taking the sense in and holding on to that moment and using that to describe whatever it was. In the writing for them, I can't, you know, guess, but I found it amazing. I was captured by it. And, yeah, I tasted it as well. As I heard it, I took it in. I was like, it tastes wonderful. It was amazing.
Thank you, Ro.
Comment?
Yeah. I just wanted to tell you guys, I can't keep my eyes open right now, and I'm blurring on the screen. So I'm going to take off, but thank you all for your lovely poetry. I had a good time.
Thank
you,
Linda. Did you have anything? Linda, did you have any shows you needed to push before you go?
Not that I know of. I have to check the schedule.
Okay. I just wanted to check. We'll get some sleep.
Okay, thanks, Deb.
And we'll talk soon. All right. Bye.
Okay.
And
bye, Deb. Love you.
Did everybody? Love you, too. Did everybody get to comment for Sky?
I didn't.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, will you please?
Yes, please. Sky, I thought this was terrific. I'm just going to read you what I wrote. I felt warm and cozy and beautiful metaphor throughout, and the last couplet was my favorite in classic Sky style, causing me to wish I could write like you. I just love this.
Thank you. You got to stop wishing you could write like me because I like the way you write, so knock it off. Thank you.
Awesome. And Sky, I know you have to go, but before you do, did you have something to push over there?
I'm sorry. Yes, 8 p.m. Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are celebrating the movie Wilbo. So a little bit easier to catch this week. I know I've been making you guys as Sweet Pea says, do your homework. So this time you don't really need to. She said that to me. She's like, you make me feel like I got to do homework. I'm like, oh, it's okay. But this week is easy. You can take the quotes wherever you want. You don't have to stay on topic of the movie. We're still going to celebrate it anyway. Or you can write to the movie and the characters. Your choice, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over at Poetic. That's it. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, Sky, thank you so much for calling, and I'll probably see you over at the Memorial Day special.
Probably not. I'm hitting and running. I got to go to bed.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right, we'll get some sleep.
Good night, though.
I appreciate you calling. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sky.
Okay, and on the board, the next poem is by Roy KBMW, if you click on that. I will play her recording. Do you see it?
I think I have to refresh. Oh, no, I got it right here. Are we the only ones here
cool.
now, me and you?
It's Rome. Rome, Hatter, you and me are the last ones left.
Okay.
We have Hatter's poem and four others. And then I don't know if Rome brought something, but... that's where we stand. So let me push play and let's take it from there. Here it is. Let's go.
Again, in your doors, written and read by Roy KBMW. Why don't you stay here, my bridal snow? The skin will grow again in your doors. In the Bible of Russian land, they dumped me under blankets of sand. If not marriage calls away, or love is a medal of heaven's rate, till the edge of thousand course I will be yours and you be mine. Put the ivory and the silver. We will be together in thousands of years. The dolphins of heaven dancing in short walk with the stars and sea with the boats. You remember aloft the charcoal queen who that sugar in the view, the haunt of pepper from smoked meat, the crumb must dance like a fish. Why, my queen, my love in life, and here with you, and will be with them. And fun.
Wow. Yeah, well, it was a little hard to hear, but still, wow. They dumped me under the blanket of sand. If not marriage calls our ways, our love is the meadow of heaven's rate. Till the etern of thousand quarts, I will be yours and you be mine. How gorgeous is that? My goodness. And then towards the end, you remember I loved charcoal cream. Put that with sugar on the wheel. And hot of pepper from smoked meat, the groom must dance like a fish. I think that the imagery in this is pretty cool. And at the end, why are you screaming, my love and life? I'm here with you and will be with me. With time, I think that the declaration of love that shines through is really beautiful. And the title, Again in Your Doors, I think it's really pretty. The ending, though, I'll go back to it again one more time. Why are you screaming, my love and life? I'm here with you and will be with time. It's like, how much more can I show you that I'm here for the long haul? I'm not going anywhere. The emotion is very heavy, and I think that, well, I know she's listening. I think that you did a great job, and I appreciate that you ran there and got the SoundCloud. I'm always more than happy to send that email invite to you, but once the show goes live, it won't let it go out. Just for future, even if it's only 5 minutes before showtime, I'll be able to get it to you. But other than that, I feel bad that you didn't get to call in, but I very, very much appreciate that you made the YouTube for this beautiful poem. Let me get you some comments. Lady A, will you start, please?
Well, first of all, I really liked I liked the music. It was very intriguing. It was a little bit loud for her little voice, but it was a beautiful background bit of music. I thought her poem was very endearing, I guess I would like to say. I think she was, I think it was a love poem that was heartbreaking almost, I thought. I thought it was interesting that she put that line in the Bible of Christian land. They dumped me under the blanket of sand. I would be interested in trying to understand what she meant by that. But I think perhaps there was some cultural differences between the two lovers. But I thought it was a beautiful piece. Her voice was lovely. I like that she had the background music, but it should have been a little bit lower so that her voice was dominant in the piece. But it was quite beautiful.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment on that one while I put yours on the board?
Sure. I get it. It's almost like the other half is not willingly there. The Gloom must dance like a fish. Why are you screaming? I am here, and you will be with time. Like a convincing, you got to convince him. Yeah, it's the only thing that makes you think that much. I'd like to know what or if there is a definite meaning. Sometimes poems are left to the reader's imagination, and that's what it is. Well done. The dolphins of heaven are dancing in joy. Yeah, that's mine. That's what I think. Convincing the other half. Also, the dumping me under the blanket of sand in the Bible of Christian land. Yeah, that's a, that would be a good question there, too. Good point, Lady Eddie.
Thanks.
She wants me to share the image, so I'm trying to get her to remind me which one it is, because I'm not positive.
Yeah, the image says a lot, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. Mo, tell me which one it was. I forget. I'll put it up.
Well, I have the image here. I can share the link. I don't know if it'll work if I put it in the chat, but I can't because I was looking at it.
Let me see what the AN says. Just a second.
Yeah, I bet you could see it. But
you know what it is. I just don't remember exactly which one. Ah, okay, I see. All right, I'm going to put it up there right now, and then you guys can see too. It is coming up. I'm just scanning through my file to find it.
27. Is it 27?
I don't know. I just went by the look of it. I will have it there.
Person in the wall screen, man. Crucifix on the wall.
Here we go.
There you go.
Look on the board, and you can see the photo.
Yep.
Ah.
Yeah, it says a lot for a lot of lines. You're like, oh, okay,
yeah.
A lot of lines make sense more. Especially like
if you turn that picture, if you turn that picture on its side, it's got a...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, if you take that picture and lay it on its side, almost has a different look.
Yeah. Before you read, Rome, will you finish your comment for?
Oh yeah, I loved it. It's like I went like Lady A with the recording. Like I had my ups and downs with it, but I feel like it also picked up towards the end. Like there was some confidence in the recording that picked up. We were able to hear the wording better. It was like the background was a little overtaking, but also the flow kept up, and it got better though as it went. And it's weird because, like, we recite here and people read along with us, but it's different when there's a recording. You kind of digress with the reading along with it. You kind of want to just hear the recording for the recording. So I had to, like, double take and go back on some things, which made me appreciate the recording much more. And then also clicking on the picture made things click a lot more for me and made me catch a lot more metaphors. So the piece overall I loved. I thought it was greatly written and a lot about the prompt and what it was about, because I was going with, like, it was like cooking and raw love. So I was thinking, like, the person, the love, I thought, like, flapping like a fish on a grill and the screaming, that picture brought the screaming out. I was like, oh, I get the screaming now. The man's in the wall. So everything going together with the prompt came together when I – notice all that stuff and put it together. So I thought it was great. For the recording for me, it was like, I would like better levels with the background and stuff, but I heard it get a lot better. I would like to hear it again. I would love to hear the person come in and perform it to get better overall. But towards the end, putting everything together, I loved it. I thought it was a great write. A lot of lot of gems in it, you know. It has to be, have a pun in that with that, because I feel a lot of jewel inflection was in the writing, so a lot of gems in it. Yeah. So I would love to definitely hear it again. I definitely think I would like to hear a second take where I don't have to wait to the end to put it all together. But I found this to be amazing. It was a great piece.
Awesome comment. Appreciate that. And okay, let's see. We have 1, 2, 3, four. Okay, let's just, Hatter, can you read for us, please?
I had to make one adjustment. I'm hoping it's going to let me do this. Okay. It's called For Lack of a Title, They Watched Through My Window with Gas Masks There. It's like this. They watched through my window with a gas mask stare. They think I don't see or that I might not care. That day I was ill. I stayed inside. It was the day it came and my friends all died. I cannot understand, nor did I ever plan, to be left alone to see the faces that come and think I had done something to bring this to be, and that I might have cast inside sending gas, and that it was my choice and all of my will. The heat of the gases taking what passes, then to feel the bone brittle chill. Something had stained the sour and soured the air. I swear I did not know, and I had to go. I was not even there. Wear the mask forever, and you can call it never to see your face again. No one knows where to stop it to blow. There is death inside the winds. And I got to say, I had another piece written and was doing the final edit, and it disappeared. So I tried to write that one again and couldn't do it, so I had to quickly write something up. So I apologize.
Don't you hate when that happens?
I know there's more there. I can feel it.
When you do that and then you can't recover it, it's so frustrating. But back to this one, how about the opening there? They watch through my window with a gas mask stare. They think I don't see or that I might not care. But there's the gas mask stare is like really spooky. It works perfect with that image. The heat of the gases. Taking what passes then to feel the bone brittle chill, something that stained and soured the air. I swear I did not know I had to go. I was not even there. This is creepy and haunting, and I keep going back to that opening, though, that gas mask stare. If you did nothing but label that photo the gas mask stare, you would have been spot on, let alone all the rest of the details in here. Like I said, so haunting. I'm sorry that you lost the other one, but this one's still awesome.
Can you imagine if the mandatory masks were the valid kind?
I know. It'd be like never seen another face. We'd all be this gas masky. Those are really scary.
Go around making noises.
For one.
Go around making monster noises.
Yeah, you might as well, because nobody's going to have any clue what's under there. But
yeah,
on the other hand, sure is an extraordinary way to make us all look the same, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so someone takes that mask off, and you're like, oh, it's not what I expect you to look like.
Right? Yeah. That's like when you read someone's poem and then you hear their voice for the first time. You're like, oh, wow. You don't sound like
yeah.
I expected you to, but
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I was
so
really
go
excited
ahead
about it. Because I was excited. I don't know if you made me appreciate it, because I was also like mad that you made that comment of like you losing the teeth and then you had to rush to make this piece. But it's like, I hear it both in the good and bad way. Like, I hear it because I know how you write. I heard your pieces, and you can get so deep with it in your description. So it kind of works in both ways for you here, because I know you wanted, like, you lost something, you rushed to write it, It's like you hear it in the piece, but it also like works so well, like in your rush to make the new piece. It's almost like you didn't want to have to end this piece how you ended it. Like that's what I was feeling like. It's like you had a whole, even though you were rushing to make something new because you lost something. I'm mad you stuck in the box. I feel like you stuck with your word prompt here. You were like, you know what? Let me just stop here because I could go so much longer. I can go so much. Like, and I like that. And I wanted more. Like, you made me want more because I already know like, how you write, and I wanted that more. And I feel like you were saying it, like, in your words and your stanzas. Like, with the, it's like, not your fault. You're not even here. It's like, I feel like some lines in it, well, like, you're mentioning, basically, I'm just writing this because I lost something. like little Easter eggs, you know what I mean? Yeah, I only caught that because you said it. That's why, because you were like, hey, I only wrote this because of this. So that's the only reason I'm catching it. So that's how I'm thinking of it now when I'm hearing it. I'm like, oh, man, it's kind of like you letting out your slight frustrations as you're writing something else. And I just love that, too, even more.
Great. When I lost it, the first stanza actually is from the original. So I did save the first stanza. I did remember that. Yeah, I lost the whole other things. But like you said,
your first one is part of the original?
Yeah.
The first stanza is part of the original, yeah.
Nice. Well, I hope you get to find it again. Well, I always love your writing and how you deliver it too. And I would like you know, I feel like you stopped short just because you stopped. Maybe you were frustrated too of losing something, but I think you have more to add here and go in. So I would like to see like a part two or like your remake or add-ons to this, because I definitely know, especially with this picture popping, how you write. With the picture here, I already know. I can only imagine. So I would love to see that. I would love to see it.
There you are.
Awesome comment. We're actually running out of time. So, Lady A, will you read the next poem on the board while Angel's in the room so she can hear it before the recording stops, please?
Lady A. Unmuted.
Sis?
Yep, talking to the mute button. Sorry about that. This
That's
is all right. The Worship of Love by Heavenly Angel. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, The Worship of Love. Dusk has fallen. Peppermint and periwinkle sky darkens to gunmetal gray. The rising full champagne moon. Anticipation fills the air, goosebumps march across peaked skin as your smoky, charcoaled eyes gaze deeply into mine, soft and soothing, seducing me. Your power has enchanted me. I stand helpless against it, as if lost in a mist of sweet romance, sweeter than creamy vanilla sugar. Gently, with nary a word, you lay me with upon silken linens. Scents of sweet lavender and jasmine fill the night as we become one. Words are inaudible to the human ear, but lovers know them. Lovers feel them. We are those lovers. Even the words of a poet, the metaphors, the cliches, do not encompass the whole of it. Our love, our passion. We fly with passion's caress, take the celestial flight across the lover's Milky Way. You are my sun, my moon, my starlit sky. Without you, I dwell in darkness. Come to me now, night. Let me worship you in my arms. And poem.
Wow. The longing and in the emotion shows in every single stanza all the way through. The visuals in the beginning, dust has fallen. Peppermint and periwinkle sky darkens to gunmetal gray with a rising full champagne moon. In there, the visuals went up and down
there was the periwinkle sky, and then it went dark, but then the champagne moon came out. So just the first stanza alone was full circle. I like the stanza that says, your power has enchanted me. I stand helpless against it, as if lost in a mist of sweet romance, sweeter than creamy vanilla sugar. I think that the sentiment and, like I said, the longing and the love and the images are all combining into a beautiful poem, and all from a single gorgeous white rose. The scents of sweet lavender and jasmine fill the night as we become one. I mean, it's so romantic and just a breathtaking piece. Lady A, you read. Would you comment, please?
I thought this was different for Heavenly Angel. I thought it was much more passionate, and I don't know. There was just a difference in this writing, more intense, like there was some urgency in it, and I just thought it was very, very passionate, and it was very seductive as well, but gorgeously written, I thought. Her descriptions, her imagery, I loved it, and then I loved the last verse, because there was a line in a couplet, we fly with passion's caress, take the celestial flight across the lover's Milky Way. You are my sun, my moon, my starlit night sky. I thought this was gorgeous. Very, very, very gorgeous.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Heather?
I had an issue. I was unable to follow up. I'm sorry.
Rome, please.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. You had it very well said. It was a nice embellishment with the back and forth, the tug of war, speaking my love, the submissiveness, and also it wasn't a submissiveness of one just giving their all and not getting back. It was submissiveness and truly genuine and an expression. And because also at the end of the stanza, she becomes almost the protector as well, where she says, come to me now tonight. Let me worship you in my arms. That worship you in the arms is followed after come to me now. So I don't look at that submissive to be like one of a weak one. It's so genuine love. Because it's come to me now. So you, who says that when they're looking to be the lesser one in a relationship, but also saying, come to me now, as if to be the protector. It's a nice backing forth of every person playing their part and the love being so true and genuine. Even in the description of the sweet vanilla and creamies, that's not what you look for or think of when you think powerful and strong. So it's like, it's also well-hearted and so genuine in itself in the description. It's like, it's soft, it's hard, it's beautiful, it's genuine. And I thought the read was amazing. It was a perfect match for a read with A, because she touches on things like this and does it so well. She read it so beautifully, and it was I think I loved it, the honesty, and it was a very true piece. And I loved everything about it because it was truly equal in the back and forth and just truly heartfelt and open in that. And I can't even, you know, I just got to appreciate that. So I love that in itself. Amazing piece.
That was an awesome comment. I was wondering, Rome, would you mind reading Budo's poem for me?
Not at all, sure.
Check your Facebook messages, Rome, when you get through, okay?
Oh, man, I don't have my Facebook no more.
Oh.
I probably do, but I haven't been on. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I should say that. I have Baruch. Abtiril? Help me with that word first, though. The first word in the poem.
Epicurial.
There we go. Thank you. All right. So, Blight by Budo. Epicurial seeds laid bare, swollen and gray desolation, and chalk bone and marrow roots, ever grasping for pearls of wisdom from a sky inked in ebony. Betwixt fate and fancy's froth, dirty, unfulfilled desires, know that salvation comes not in even terms. With only sinews of torn licorice to swallow by parched maw and chased by prize folly, as charcoal dreams crease shadowed foes, blinding and intertwining, and their psychosis of a nightmare that becomes reality. And peace.
Great read. Thank you. In chalked bone and marrow roots, ever grasping for pearls of wisdom from a sky inked in ebony. There's something about that ever grasping for pearls of wisdom and the hands reaching out for the sky there. I really like the direction he took this in. And at the end, binding and intertwining inner psychosis of the nightmare that becomes reality. Just that last couplet's kind of spooky. I think that this is excellent brevity and a great use of the words and the photo. And man, oh man, I keep coming back to that, to that ever grasping for pearls of wisdom. That's one of those perfect lines that could also be singular and describe that photo. Great brevity, Budo. I appreciate you sending it in. Rome, you read. What did you think?
I loved it. All we need is the moon in that picture to be that pearl. I think this is a perfect example of when someone gets on a picture prompt, they take that picture whole and break it down. With the breakdown description of the picture is so, I mean, one can only guess, but they make the correlation so close to life itself off the picture. Like, say, every feeling and every thought you may have or have went through, and they make it rise so closely and describe it so generally, where you're like, you almost forget it's the picture that they're talking about. And that was written beautifully in itself right there, because as you can tell in every stanza and every description of it, you get the feeling. I don't know how to describe, like, you have the sense, like, you get it, but then you're looking at the picture and you're like, you know what's happening, but you're like, oh, this person's talking about something more. They have to be talking about something more. And I don't really know how to describe it, but I just loved it. It was just done so flawless. And the word usage in it too, that's why I had to give me help with that pronunciation, because I didn't want to mess it up with that. I was sitting there trying to get it, but I had to ask for help, so I didn't mess that part up, because that right there just sets the tone for me. So thank you for that, because it was a beautiful write. Amazing. So if I think took the picture and everything, amazing.
Well, short, you did a great job reading it. Now, I have two more left on the board. One is your recording, and then I'm going to read for Crystal. But, Rome, you've been here all night. I was hoping that you would find something to close out the show with. So if you want to find a poem while I put
Phil's
video
have one,
on,
but
that
would be great. I'm way past your box. I'm way out the box, so I'm more than happy just to be here and enjoy it and finish out with you, too. Because I'm way, I'm way past your word count, so I don't want to do that.
I understand.
But I don't want to, I already counted it. I was like, all right. But I'm more than happy to be here and join. I'll post it. You can make that decision. I'll post it for you, and you can see, and you make that decision if you want.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, let's click on Phil's link, and I'll start that poem, and we'll take it from there. So do you guys see Phil's link?
I do.
Here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called Fear Brigade. Fear rises from the underground, crushing bones like eggshells, trampling to the chimes of distant church bells. Chain-choking, pig-faced, elephantine mask breathes out the lies. Charcoal venom seeps through lithium-filled eyes. Ash-polluted, ghostly mist rising from an empty mind. A brigade of sullen effigies drift silently from behind. Footsteps echoing along the chalk-filled corridor. Smoke foaming through an iron lung squeeze box. Wheezing through the chrome warren of cemented blocks. Froth rising mucus green from where the mouth used to be. My senses tingle as I feel fierce breath breathing on me. Grey as death, I'm afraid I might turn into one of them. But I spew out all the poisonous gas turned to phlegm. Stay away from the shadows, head for the light. Climb to a higher ground for safety to avoid their bite. Slate shatters beneath my feet. Slowly the magnesium rises. A salty taste fills my lungs with a thousand compromises. Pepper spray stings my cranium before I hit the floor. Blood and granite mix as batons hit me until I'm no more. End poem.
Wow. Mega darkness there. Wow, wow, wow.
Good.
Yeah.
Is there a photo?
Is
there a picture?
I was actually trying to find it now so that I
That's
could...
the scary part. I don't see
yeah,
no picture. That's just darkness.
Yeah. I was going to say, he went so dark with it that I wanted you to see the photo, and I'm having... There it is. Okay, I found it. It's like just as creepy as is right. There you go. Take a look at that.
That was amazing.
Wicked, right?
I got Edgar Allan Poe vibes all day.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. The details, right? Smoke foaming through an iron lung squeeze box. What an image that is. And gray as death. I'm afraid I might turn into one of them, but I spew out all the poisonous gas turned to phlegm. Stay away from the shadows. Head for the light. Climb to a higher ground for safety to avoid their bite. I think that this is excellent darkness. If nothing else, I must say that Phil sure has been proving his versatility lately. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. A little bit of darkness tonight, and all excellent. Fantastic share, Phil. And the video was awesome. Or audio, I mean. Wow. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, that picture's sort of freaky. It fit well. I mean, I got the last half of it. So we started the iron lung squeeze box, wheezing to the chrome war. He picked apart that picture and took out of it this dark side. Yeah, poisonous gas turned to phlegm. You know, it's like having to live with it after the emergency's over. It's like a good question. After this pandemic, are you going to still wear masks? I still feel safer with a mask. They say that a lot of people are going to. When in Japan, when they had the SARS attack, people they kept with the mask. Any picture of Japan when nowadays during the walking down the street, you see a good third of them with masks still.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's what we're going to have, too, because this sort of speaks of that. It becomes common. The last
makes you say you should have been doing that. Yeah. No.
I knew something different.
Yeah, the last stanza does wrap it up. Pepper spray stings my cranium before I hit the floor. Blood and granite mixed with batons hit me. Retire and no more. Yeah. Beginning of the military state. Do what they say.
Exactly. Memorial Day shit, too. That just makes it even more pleasant. Like, oh my God, the Memorial Day. The fear of the brigade. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Just don't eat the green. Just don't eat the green.
Lady A, will you comment for Phil before I read for Crystal?
Yes. I love Phil's poetry. I say it every time I read it. And this was haunting, like beyond haunting, a prediction of the world, of our state of being as we know it now, a future told, because I think we have been on the beginning of the end for these last year and a half or so. The last verse really, really shook me. Slate shatters beneath my feet. Slowly the magnesium rises. A salty taste fills my lungs with a thousand compromises. Pepper spray stings my cranium before I hit the floor. And blood and granite mix as batons hit me until I'm no more. You know, is that what it's going to come to for all of us, not just a select few that are experiencing this on a daily basis about the batons, I mean? I think that this is critically correct, critically correct. I think that it doesn't. It's a very dark tale of what fear does, what the fear mongers bet on and bank on, and we can't let it happen. That's how I think. Great job, Phil.
Great comment. Okay, so here's where we're at, you guys. I'm going to read for Crystal, and then, yes, I am going to have Rome read us out of here. So if you guys would click on Crystal's poem, I will read for her, and we will get these last two poems done.
I just like to politely say that she was nice, so she was nice.
Okay, and this is called Burnt Out and Faded by Crystal Hope. And here we go. Peppermint skies fade into the darkness as my opal eyes shift to blurry vision. Unsure of the footsteps I mushroomed wandering in a pond of decisions. Sorry. I'm burned out. I'm crying in a small place. My heart's in outer space. I'm dissolving to smoky pepper flakes, afraid of my wearied mistakes. My life is a pastel painting smearing charcoal in the draining rain, a smiling shadow behind the scenes, bleeding in broken eggshell pain. Ebony clouds beckon over my window as my tired body leans against a silver table. My voice is a croaking crow with wings snapped and barely stable. Oh, my goodness, this is, I was trying not to get choked up while I was reading. This is so, there's so much pain and sadness in this. And I find myself hoping that it's just a poem written for the prompt and that my little sister isn't just sad wow.
That was nice.
It's actually grabbing at me here, especially in the middle. I'm burnt out. I'm crying in a small place. My heart's in outer space, and I'm dissolving to smoky pepper flakes, afraid of my wearied mistakes. this is, and we say this all the time, and sometimes that broken record syndrome is, it can be annoying, but I can't help it. This woman, this young woman, writes with infinite wisdom, and her pen is really powerful, and she's got me, she's gripped me in the sadness of this poem. Man, excellent.
I just want to say that.
Yeah. Wow. Lady A?
Yeah, I really love what you had said about her and the infinite wisdom, because she's just a young girl and a young woman now. She's been with us for three years? And she does have amazing wisdom for a girl her age. And her poetry is beautiful. She writes from her heart, and I think she's amazing. She does a terrific job with this.
Great comment. And Rome, will you comment for Crystal while I put your poem up, please?
Yes, I love the switch up here. I love it. We're more play with the color schemes here. And I like that. I like the follow of that. So when I hear the breaking, like I was automatic in the pastels, I'm automatically thinking, like, you know, the paint set up here, and, you know, you digging your brush in, some paint drying, or you digging on the board with the pastels and things are breaking. I just love the color scheme and went straight for colors with describing emotions, and it went down with that, and I liked that because it was like, as sad as it seemed, it was a beauty at that, because the sadness was like in the color scheme. Like, it wasn't bright colors. It was like it went to the past. Also talking about the pastels of the colors, so things got dimmer, shades got lighter, but they were still dark, and I like to play with that. And I like your read. Your read went really well with it, because you followed that tone. And, you know, that's no pun there, because it went so colors, uh-huh. Like your tone matched everything and how you went. It was like here and then it was there. So I like that. Like, it played so well. I like how it grasped that whole thing. Like, it didn't just work. Like, most other pieces went with one color, then went straight dark. And, you know, so I like that it played on all colors here. And also with the blurry visions. And I like that whole thing. It went very different route. It was very refreshing, which made it hard to pinpoint the emotion. It was, like, supposed to be up and down. I could picture, like, the artist, like, just painting that at the canvas. All ranges of emotion. So I like that. That's what captured me. And your read was amazing. So I can't even pick a favorite here, because I think everything leads into each other so well by holding the concept like that. So I found you said amazing overall, perfect read.
Awesome comment. Thank you for the poem, Crystal. And Rome, you're all set. If you'll read for us, please.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you hanging out. You should be able to read, too. Just saying.
And this is called "When White Cats When Tears Ripple." Fallen stems in the headers we read about. We read aloud in the leaflets. We see it now with the sequel. Ain't no difference in prints unless it's pages. Unless it's prints that show what differences is, unless we say it's scripted. Get scripted to black and white, and we made it, sure, that the sun was out. I seen it settle with fall, the glints was better squinted. The shade, we balanced and spoken like rays. Where's the news? We lynching. Opinions from power phrases was power. Consolidated a day late to come say our phrases. A day short and an hour later. No wonder we grow in cages. No wonder we need in fillers. Just to get through our daily debate that we barely read, the daily fed, because he said, she said, we say we thought, who said what said, when blind led the blind, who names who led, when we sound the same, and the same is heard, only the hurt is kept, the lines ain't braille, so how you cross what you ain't feel, such surprise, is it I, and the flood is mimics, I must have blinked, it was but a blink, what you think, is but a second, dare he, lit just what was written, what's the difference,
Nothing ever equals to the sun when you the one, shit is different. Green and oats, praying hope, say I do, say you don't. What it means, all it is, I show commitment to the kids and all those miscarries. You unburied with the miscarriages, children never die. That's a lie. I know a soul in Neverland, and that's a worry. If you're looking for a captain, ain't no hooking. Unless you baiting for a catch, you got no plating. Point is blanket statement, like you planking. Travelers travel, seek to seek. So the reason's less, we should repeat. Like the favorites, we use VHS. I see concessions. Fringes taping, what seems is needed to be addressed. The such can manifest such a destiny. Doctrines without consent, what it seemed to me. Being against the grain only feeds the demons. Reason and settle time, but upon request, we let a monster lay cassette for the plenty please. Look for the worm to feed. No mind the wind. We rewind the winds and reform the clouds only to see what time is. Only for sea is timeless. How do you see horizons if not the surface? Then what's the island to check the gravel? The curtain is close in the circumstance. She makes a stance, I make a stand. Hopes to circumvent. What the course is led ain't nothing certain as far as the curtain's closing. The game we show on is far from beach. Juice and currents don't squeeze from the ripples. Tears makes in the absence the happiness currently. As well to see the deeper to reach. On the calm and the damn of things. The irony cracks with preach, leak slowly. Deplete the levels we set to reach, surface levels we fight to keep ahead of. Seen the tread that's ahead of reach. If only the person was looked to exercise the demons, we would an effort to make a pull to keep a chin up. If it was just to breathe, sink or swim, what's the win? When we swim to seek for help, only to see yourself deep in death, we dive in, hoping to grow in the hardships. The world offenses fault and the courtships, both the points for the target. Had met the script. I found there plenty to be departing. Let love come in the bottom of letters often. Set as a sun and stone. What's left is a life be guarded. I'm red in the helpless crosses. We've seen what the split has caused us. How do we skip across this? When all that fits is all I lost for words. When the caption dies, easy to picture this.
And peace.
Wow. For one thing, Rome, you're such a strong reader that the length didn't even come into play because you just, you're like a driving force as you read and you go and you go and you go and you go like in an Energizer Bunny kind of fashion. And you got me with stuff like, I'm trying to find it while I'm running my mouth here, but I was really, where is it?
I was bad on that. I appreciate you for saying that, though, because I knew it was long, but I'm like, I know you know how I read, so it's like the difference. You know?
Yeah, no, it does make a difference. When it's like you turn a switch and you just read and you drive the poem through. And like I said, the length rarely comes into play because you just fill our heads with images and quite often poignant stuff that's going on right in our faces. And I'm really upset because I can't find, I really, really want to.
I learned this breakdown from you guys, too, to be honest. When I break it down short like that, sometimes, like, I ball it up. It all ends up the same when I recite it. But I made, like, I try to find something to match your prompt to with, like, the black and white. So it was hard. So I try to, like, get my best close with it.
Right.
But well, I learned okay, that, I found the part. That stuff. Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. But I found the part. Like one of my pet peeves in life is he said she said stuff. So when you hit on that one, you captured me. The Daily Fed, cause the he said she said, we say we thought. Who says what's said? When blind lead the blind. Who names who led? When we sound the same. When the same is heard, only the heard is kept. I like how you push it by using the word and then the word that sounds the same but it's different. For example, the heard, or like the blind leading the blind, who names who led. I mean, I really think, and I know we say it often, but you have this rap flair and when you read, like, oh my goodness, for a catch you got no plate in, point is blank, it's statement, like you planking, travelers travel, seeker seek. I mean, really. And then, oh man, where is it? Only feed the demons, greed sitting settled somber upon request. We let a monster lay cassette for the plenty pleads. I mean, your play on words is always spot on. And the curtains close in the circumstance. She makes her stance. I make a stand. I mean, you're very talented, Rome. I very much enjoyed this. It's hard-hitting. It's like I said, it's poignant. It's something that affects everybody. By the time you get done, there's something that anybody, everybody can find parts to pull and relate to. So bravo.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. I like that. And, you know, bravo to you guys and for, like, comments like that, because, you know, I love that, you know. I love that. And you guys, you know, a part of that comes from what I learned also and get inspired from hearing you guys here, you know. So I love that. I love that. I love that. Because a lot of the way you guys recite, I wish I can do too. But, you know, so I'm with it. I just love the writing, you know. So I thank you very much for that.
It's really impressive. And I know Lady A wants to comment over there.
Well, it's so good to hear you to read again. And I really, you always have such a wonderful message for today. And I think you really outdid yourself with this one. I there's so many pieces in it that, you know, we could address. And just how you read it, too, gives it credence, you know. I think Fallen stems in the headers we read about, we read aloud. In the leaflets, we see it now. It's a sequel. Ain't no difference in prints unless it's pages, less it's prints. So you play on words that actually have power in them if you read them close enough. I think there's metaphor in here with regard to black and white. I think there's you've mentioned even the gray areas, but I think that there's something to be said for, and I could be entirely out to lunch on this, but I think there's something to be said for perhaps some racism and what's happening today. I could be wrong, but that's kind of how I read it. I think we have to pay attention to the goings-on in the world today. I think there's a lot of hidden things that I have become aware of over the last year or so that I didn't realize. And I think most people cannot realize what's going on, or else it would be stopped. That's how I look at this.
That's what I get out of it.
You always have something very poignant, very important to say. You say it in your classical way. There's no other person who writes as you do. And I think it's just a really powerful piece.
Thank you, man. Always love you. You're the best.
Totally true. All right, and since we are more than a half hour over, I am just going to say my piece. We're off tomorrow, Wednesday night. Hatter's been bugging me he said it's been a long time since I put up one photo and then saw how many different ways the photo was interpreted. So on Wednesday night, we're going to do one photo. I put the topic on the board. So take a look at the photo and see how it speaks to you. And if you have time, stop by. And I know that Thursday is part two of Sweet Pea's three-part series on the fairy tales. And Lady A is Friday.
This Friday, I'm going to try to do something different. I haven't revealed it yet, but I have my fingers on the pulse, so stay tuned.
Okay, we will tease you more about that on Wednesday. And in the meantime, I want to thank Hatter, my big brother, for always being there. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay, who are live right now over at A Poetic Slice doing a Memorial Day special. And thank you to Wayne and Linda and Violet and Frank and AP and Rome and Sky, Sky, Sky. And, of course, my sis from Canada. And thank you to Angel and Crystal and Budo for sending the poems. And thank you to Phil and Roy for sending in these sound clouds. And I hope I didn't forget anybody because my board reloaded. If I did, it was unintentional. I appreciate you all very much. Amazing poetry. And on that note, I think I will take us out with the same song that we came in on, since I've already shared a lot of information on the group Bush and the song Come Down. Love and respect to you. Good night.
Love and respect to you all.
Thank you, everyone. Love and respect. See you Wednesday.